You know, I was thinking as we were singing, I wonder if dad or son is going to have the most people that came to the service. You know, it's going to be pretty close. But then I was thinking, you know, that's kind of like comparing perhaps a couple pieces of week-old fish and wondering which one drew the most flies. I don't know. So we'll not make that comparison. It seems that as I have had opportunity to open God's Word and preach, that the Lord keeps drawing me to different topics that deal with walking in the Spirit and fellowship with the Lord, prayer, that sort of thing. And, well, it happened again. Except we're going to be going to a passage of Scripture that is perhaps really rather obscure concerning prayer. And so I guess the Lord wants us to consider prayer tonight in that respect. Now, what are some of the things that we already know about prayer that are pretty simple? We already know that God wants us to pray. He wants us to ask Him for our needs. He wants us to pray, give us our daily bread, okay? He wants us to intercede for others, to go before His throne and ask for the needs of others. He wants us to pray in worship. These are very simple things that we already know. We already know this, that God wants us to always pray, to always be in prayer, to always be in communication with Him. Luke 1, 18:1, men ought always to pray and not to faint. God wants us to pray for what is His revealed will in His Word. We know these things. Now, here, the title of my message tonight, and you'll kind of pick up on where we're going with this. The title of my message tonight is, Does God Want to Answer Our Prayers? Does God want to answer our prayers? And you'll get the idea of why we have that title. So God wants us to pray. We know what is His revealed will in the Word. Very familiar verse that we always go to. 1 John 5:14 and 15. And this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us. And if we know that He hear us whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of Him. So we know God says, look, pray according to my will. Ask according to my will. But isn't the big question that always comes to our minds and hearts this question? Is what I'm asking God to do specifically what He wants to do? I know in the Scripture we have a lot of principles and a good number of direct things that we can pray. But a lot of times our prayers are about specific things that we are asking God to do. Does God want to answer our prayers? And therein is where I think our faith often stumbles a little bit. We've been trained, we've been educated, we've sat under the teaching of God's Word. We know we ought to pray what is His will. But our faith can stumble when we're praying something that is His will, but we're asking to do His will in a specific way, maybe at a specific time. The men, we were praying in the back, and we were praying again concerning youth leadership, youth leaders. God, we want You to provide youth leaders. It's our heart's desire that You provide them now. Lord, we understand. We understand that Your way and Your wisdom is best. It's perfect. But God, we want, it's our heart. You know our hearts. We desire that to happen now. We think it would be good for that to happen now. Does God want to answer that kind of a specific prayer? Does God want to answer our prayers? Does God want to answer our specific prayers? Does God want to? Does He have a desire to be gracious to us and to give us what we ask of Him? And again, you know, sometimes I think our faith might stumble a little bit in wondering, well, you know, I'm praying this, but I'm just not sure what God wants. Maybe He doesn't really want to do it that way. Let's go to, as I said, an obscure passage of Scripture, perhaps, in Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 30. Isaiah chapter 30. And we're going to start in verse 1. Just look at a couple verses at the beginning of the chapter, just to get the context of what's going on here. Isaiah 30. And this is before Israel was taken into captivity. And in verse 1 it says, "Woe to the rebellious children, saith the Lord, that take counsel, but not of me, and that cover with a covering, but not of my spirit, that they may add sin to sin, that walk to go down into Egypt, and have not asked at my mouth, to strengthen themselves in the strength of Pharaoh, and to trust in the shadow of Egypt." Now, all this was happening because the Assyrians were threatening to attack. And rather than go to the Lord, the leadership of Israel decided, well, we need to go down into Egypt. We need to get some help from Pharaoh. We need to be ready to escape to Egypt. Look at verse 3. "Therefore shall the strength of Pharaoh be your shame, and the trust in the shadow of Egypt your confusion." So here's the context. That's the framework that our verse is going to be in. Now look at verse 15. Let's pick up on verse 15. It says, "For thus saith the Lord God, the Holy One of Israel, in returning in rest shall ye be saved, in quietness and in confidence shall be your strength, and ye would not." So again, the Lord wanted them to return to Him and trust in Him instead of Pharaoh, instead of Egypt. In verse 16, He says, "But ye said, No, for we will flee upon horses. Therefore shall ye flee. And we will ride upon the swift. Therefore shall they that pursue you be swift." Verse 17, 1,000 shall flee at the rebuke of one. At the rebuke of five shall ye flee, till ye be left as a beacon upon the top of a mountain and as an ensign on a hill." Now we come to verse 18. Here's our verse. This is the verse we're going to look at tonight. Verse 18 says, "And therefore," now remember, "therefore" means tying together everything that came before, the whole context here of the children of Israel rejecting the leadership of God, looking to the world, to Egypt, to Pharaoh for their salvation. He says, "And therefore will the Lord wait, that He may be gracious unto you. And therefore will He be exalted, that He may have mercy upon you. For the Lord is a God of judgment. Blessed are all they that wait for Him." Now, again, to just get a little more of the context, the last verse we're going to look at here is verse 19. "For the people shall dwell in Zion at Jerusalem. Thou shalt weep no more. He will be very gracious unto thee at the voice of thy cry. When he shall hear it, He will answer thee." All right, so our verse is verse 18. And when you first look at that verse, it's what does it mean? And how does this relate to prayer and even, well, walking in the Spirit, you might say, but especially prayer? Well, let's look at verse 18 now. It says, "And therefore will the Lord wait." that he may be gracious unto you. Now that word wait, the form of that word, the way the Hebrew form is, what it usually means is an intensive or an intentional action. In other words, it's like this. It's like the difference between he broke the pot and he smashed the pot to pieces. Okay, you get the idea? So it says here, and therefore will the Lord wait. And it has the idea here, almost like the Lord is waiting, almost like you would wait in an ambush. Now you understand what an ambush is. You want to surprise somebody. And so you kind of hunker down behind something and you wait. What do you do while you're waiting? You're watching. A hunter, I'm not a hunter, but I understand that, you know, especially, you know, 100 years ago, the way a hunter would hunt is they would watch the animals, how they lived, what trails they followed, what time of the day they would be in one place, what time of the day they would be in another place. And then the hunter can lie in wait for the animals to come by, the deer, the elk, whatever. It's that kind of a sense of waiting, of an intentional delay, okay? You're intentionally delaying. Now, what would happen if a hunter just went walking through the forest and said, I'm going to go get a deer, I'm going to go get an elk, just walk through the forest, what would happen? All the animals would just, they'd hear them, they would just run and hide themselves. But the hunter has a purpose, and he is intentionally delaying. He's waiting, he's watching. That's what this word here means. And therefore will the Lord wait. He's waiting, he's putting off an action for a better result later, okay? Putting off an action for a better result later. So what is the Lord waiting for here? What is he watching for? And therefore will the Lord wait, that he, the Lord, may be gracious unto you. That the Lord can bestow his favor upon you. God waits for the perfect time and the perfect alignment of events so he can give you his very best. In the second chapter of Ephesians, verse 7, it says that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. That overflowing grace, that abundant, that fullness of grace. Again, you know, it comes back to our theme for the year, that we are complete in him. Our fullness is in Christ. God waits for the perfect time and the perfect alignment of events so that he can be gracious unto us. He can give us his very best. In 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 14, the context there is Paul said, hey, you know, at one time I was a blasphemer. And in verse 14 it says, and the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. It makes me think of the story, the parable that the Lord Jesus told in Luke 11. And in verse 11 it says, if a son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he for a fish give him a serpent? And the obvious answer is no. Now, in a similar example, Let's say a son would ask for not bread, but just a little cracker, which is, you know, that's something good. And his father says, "Son, wait a moment. Trust me." And then later, at the right time, his father gives him the bread. Now think of it. It's not that the father does not want to give his son that which is good, that cracker, but the father wants to give his son that which is best. And so he waits. In Isaiah 30:18 again, it says, "And therefore will the Lord wait, that he may be gracious unto you." God has a purpose in waiting. God has a purpose in being silent sometimes. God has a purpose in delaying. In Galatians 4:4, I always think of this with this kind of a topic. It says, "But when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his son." God always has the perfect time. "And therefore will the Lord wait, that he may be gracious unto you." So it says in verse 18 here. Some of you may have heard of a preacher of old, A.T. Pearson. He was a prolific writer, Bible commentaries, etc. And he even succeeded Charles Spurgeon as the pastor of the Metropolitan Tabernacle in London for 2 years. Well, the story's told of this about A.T. Pearson, that he once told of being alone in the study of that great man of faith and achievement, George Mueller. Now, you know who George Mueller is. Thinking it would be a good time to look at the great man's Bible, he opened it and was thumbing through its pages when he came to a verse in Psalms where it reads, "The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord," Psalm 37:23. And opposite on the margin, Mueller had made this little notation in his Bible, "And the stops, too," S-T-O-P-S, "the stops of a good man are ordered by the Lord." God knows exactly what we need when we need it. Now, the second thing that I want us to see in this verse is that the Lord is a God of justice. In other words, he's a God who does what is right. He's a God of justice who gives us blessings to all of us who trust him. Look again at verse 18. It says, "And therefore will the Lord wait, that he may be gracious unto you. And therefore will he be exalted, that he may have mercy upon you." Now, this is really an interesting word here, this word exalted, because you and I understand what exalted means. I mean, when we think of someone, let's say a king is exalted, what do we think of? We think of a king up on his throne, you know, high and lifted up. He's honored. He's above everybody else. "And therefore will he," talking about the Lord, "and therefore will the Lord be exalted, that he may have mercy upon you." Well, now that's kind of hard to put those thoughts together. What is the Isaiah really saying here? "And therefore will he," the Lord, "be exalted." Well, this word exalted isn't referring to being honored in the sense of like a king is exalted. It doesn't mean to be glorified, but rather it means to rise up. It has that idea. It means to rise up in the sense of to get away from. I'm going to get up, to get away from. I'm rising up. Now, the translators use the word exalted here, and in our common thinking, we think of being honored and lifted high. But rather, it has that idea of rising up, to get away from, to get up and get separated from. So the Lord will raise himself up so as to be far away. Now, that's a little disconcerting, isn't it? And therefore will he be exalted. He's going to rise up to get away. Has the same idea as in Numbers 16:45. It's talking about Moses. Now Moses, here it says, the Lord said unto Moses, get you up from among this congregation, that I may consume them as in a moment. So you get the idea here. Same word. Get you up from among this congregation. Get away from them, Moses. So, again, in verse 18 it says, and therefore will he be exalted. God's going to get up to get away from, that he may have mercy upon you. Mercy here has the idea of having compassion. Well, let's try and put all that together. The Lord is going to rise up and separate himself from our immediate requests so that he can have compassion upon us, so that he can fulfill his perfect will for us. And I'm going to interpret it this way, and kind of go out on a limb, you might say, so that he can fulfill his perfect will for us and not be influenced and affected by our pleading for that which is only good, so that he will give us only his very best. Isn't it hard sometimes as a father, as a mother, when your child is asking for something good and you want to provide it, but you know, if you just wait, there's something so much better that you want to give them. I really think in Isaiah 18 here, and therefore will he be exalted. God's going to rise up and separate himself, to get himself up from, you know, even hearing what we're saying, listening to, being influenced by, so that he may have mercy, he may have compassion upon us. When you're praying, when you're asking God, when you're pleading with him, doesn't it sometimes seem like you're having this conversation with the Lord? And in a sense, that somewhere in the middle of that conversation, that God got up and left, and everything's silent. Lord, where'd you go? I think we have that idea sometimes. And maybe we think God's not hearing us. Brothers and sisters, I think according to Isaiah 30:18, it gives us a little picture here of God as a father separating himself so he's not influenced by our innocent pleading with him. He wants to give us his very best. As a father who loves us, God desires to give us what we ask for. And in a sense, he has to sometimes get out of earshot. I'll put it that way. Get out of earshot of our pleading hearts so that he does not give in and give us only the good instead of his very best. Isaiah 30:18 again. And therefore will the Lord wait that he may be gracious unto you. And therefore will he be exalted that he may have mercy upon you. For the Lord is a God of judgment. Now how does that tie in? judgment here is talking about justice, about doing what is right, about doing what is equitable and fair. The Lord as a father will do that which is right. He's not going to shortchange us. He's not going to shortchange his children. He will not give them a stone or even desire, example we used of giving them a stale piece of bread. That's not what the Lord wants to do. In Ephesians 4:7, it says, "But unto every one of us is given grace," how? "According to the measure of the gift of Christ." How much of Christ did God give us? All of it. All of Him. All of Him. There are so many times I'm in Scripture and something reminds me of the picture of God the Father as the Father in the prodigal son. It says, "But the father said to his servants, bring forth the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found." And they began to be merry. God desires so much to give us his very best. And we find at the end of verse 18, it says, "Blessed are all they that wait for him." Happy are all who wait for God to be gracious and merciful. That word blessed, this is, you know, again, I am not a Bible scholar, I'm not a Hebrew scholar in any way, but I see these little pictures. And it makes an impact on my heart. The word blessed, we know, means happy, to be happy. And that word comes from a root verb that means to go straight and to advance and to make progress. And I might be reading too much into this, but it seems to me that to be blessed and happy has the idea of seeing a straight path ahead. And you see it, you know where you're going, there's no hesitancy, there's no uncertainty, but instead there's confidence and assurance. Now you know when it's hard to be happy, it's hard to be blessed if you don't know where you're going. You're just not sure. But when you see a straight path ahead, And you're confident, this is the way. That's the kind of freedom that I believe that this word blessed is talking about. In this case, the blessedness and happiness is knowing that your Heavenly Father will give you His very best. No matter what you asked for, what specific things you asked to be done for you, that the Lord will give His very best. You have that confidence, you have that assurance, you know who your Heavenly Father is, you see that open pathway straight ahead, and even though in your innocence you're asking for certain specific things, you know, hey, whatever God does, it's going to be the very, very, very best. Blessed, it says at the end of verse 18, blessed are all they that wait for Him. That word wait is the same word that we saw before, and therefore will the Lord wait. But it's a different form of the word, okay? Here it simply means to wait for, that to abide, to remain, to stay where you are. It doesn't have that idea of a hunter, you know, delaying for a future action. No, it just means to stay where you're at, to wait. Blessed are all they, it says, that wait for Him. Those who wait for the Lord to act. Those who, seeing their straight path ahead, is to simply wait for their Heavenly Father to act, because they know that whatever their Father will give them is the very, very, very best. A story is told of missionary Adoniram Judson. He was, you know, clearly appointed by God to go to the heathen to teach, to reach them for Christ. It is said that he reached Calcutta, Calcutta being in India, in the summer of 1812, full of ardor for preaching the gospel, only to receive peremptory orders from the British government to leave the country at once and return to America. With sad hearts, the little missionary company retreated to the Isle of France, wondering why what had seemed a wide and effectual door open to them should now be violently shut. Story goes on, says, but with unconquerable determination, they returned again to India, reaching Madras in the following June. Once more, their purpose was thwarted, and once more they were ordered from the country. And being compelled to quit the land, with heavy hearts they fled to Rangoon, to a place which Judson had declared that he regarded with the utmost aversion as a missionary field. There he was permitted to stay, only to find bonds and imprisonment awaiting him. The story goes on and says, but all is clear now. Judson was forbidden by the Spirit to enter India because God would have him in Burma. Park Street Church in Boston, I don't know anything about Park Street Church now, but Park Street Church in Boston, whose call the Spirit constrained Judson to decline, is still a large body, numbering perhaps 1,000 members. But the church in Burma, which that same Spirit led Judson to found to begin, numbered 30,000 people. God wants to give His very, very, very best to us. Now, let's just look at this verse 18 again and kind of walk through it real quick and review what it's saying. Verse 18, and therefore will the Lord wait that he may be gracious unto you. In other words, the Lord's watching for ways to be gracious, to be favorable unto us. Again, that wait is talking about he's intentionally delaying action. There's an expectant waiting of a future event. He's putting off action now for a better result later, so that he may be gracious, so that God can give you His very best. The verse goes on and says, and therefore will He be exalted, that He may have mercy upon you. So the Lord's going to rise up and separate Himself from our immediate requests so that He can have compassion on us, so that He can fulfill His perfect will for us and not be influenced and affected by our pleading for that which is only good, so that He will give us only His very best. Goes on, it says, for the Lord is a God of judgment. In other words, the Lord will do that which is right. He's a God of justice. The Lord is not going to shortchange His children. And then the verse ends with, blessed are all they that wait for Him. Happy are all who wait for God to take action. To take action to be gracious and merciful, who see the pathway clear because God's going to give His very best. And so the question is, does God want to answer our specific prayers? And we know the answer to that. You know, of course it's yes. But sometimes our faith can stumble a little bit, because of the way God works His perfect plan. The answer is definitely yes here. God wants to be gracious to his children. But there are so many times he's going to delay in acting upon our request so that he, as a loving father, may give us not simply that which is good, but the very best. Let's close in prayer. Lord, that verse, I'm not even sure how you took me to it and how you even enlightened anything in my own heart concerning prayer. But Lord, I thank you for it because it definitely shows me that I need to have confidence in you, that you're going to give your very best, that you are a loving father who desires to give good things to his children. And yet, you're going to separate yourself. You're going to get up and get away from our pleading, as it were, so you can have compassion on us and just give us the very best. Lord, I ask that for myself and my brothers and sisters here, that we would see you as that kind of a father. And pray confidently our specific prayers to you. But knowing that when you are silent, when you are delaying, you're doing it because you have something very good waiting for us. And your way is perfect. And we thank you for that, Lord. Lord, teach us these things. Teach us so that we can be strong in prayer, strong in our confidence in reaching out and talking to our Heavenly Father, knowing who you are and that you're going to do great things for us. Thank you, Father. In Christ's name we ask it. Amen. We're going to close.